A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at CARM.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, how you doing out there? Hope you're having a good day. It's an interesting day, and we'll be talking a little bit about what's going on in the Capitol. If you're interested in calling, we can talk about it. But hey, if you're a first-time listener, I'm a Christian apologist, and we're taking calls, live calls, from anybody who wants to. We talk about the things of the Lord, the Bible, religious systems, secular systems, and all kinds of stuff. So if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have five open lines right now, 5 out of 5, so give me a call. We can talk. I know a lot of people are watching the news, what's going on, and we'll get to that in a second. I just want to let you know, I had a debate last night, and I'm kind of curious if anybody watched. You can call up and give comments about it. I thought my opponent did not do well, and there's some humorous stuff that's come out of it recently. But you know, if you heard, you want to comment, we can talk about it. If not, no big deal. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Five open lines, give me a call. All right, now, as you know, you've been watching the headlines out there, that there's a lot of mayhem, so to speak, going on at the Capitol. There are a lot of people who have stormed the, I think it's a Senate, House, or whatever, I forgot which. I've been doing a lot of different things today. And they had to clear the Senate out, and the senators left. Thousands and thousands of people are there. Thousands of people are protesting. Now, I want to make a comment, because I know that a lot of people are concerned about all of it, and they should be concerned. We have to be praying for our country. Shots have been fired there. Two people have been wounded. There's unrest. There's a lot going on. And a lot of people are very, very upset about the election results based on the lot of fraud that's happened and has been documented. So a lot of people don't trust the election results. And so this is the protest that's going on in light of that. And I flipped around different TV stations, and it was interesting to see CNN, MSNBC, their take on things. And, of course, Trump was to blame. It was all about how bad Trump was. And then on other stations, it was people protesting because they don't trust the election results, and they don't think that it counts anymore because they don't trust it. And that was, it's really interesting to see the spin that different groups and different people put on things. So what do we do as Christians? We got to start praying. We got to pray a lot, not just once. You know, I prayed tonight, so therefore I'm good. What we have to do is we got to pray for the redemption of our country, because this kind of stuff, if you see the pictures, there are people with guns drawn inside the House. I believe it's the House with all the senators, congressmen are there. I wish I'd understood this stuff better, but you know, I'm a theologian. And there are, in the Speaker of the House, you know, seat, there's a guy, somebody sitting there. I mean, it's chaos. So what do you think of it? What do you think? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad? And what does the Constitution say about it? What does the preamble say? Is it right for us to do something like this, for people to do that? What do you do? The left calls it a mob, but when the protesters knock, the left calls this, what's happening here in D.C., a mob. But when people are in, say, for example, Portland, Oregon, burning and stealing, they're protesters. And in Seattle, they're protesters. But the people here are not burning, they're not stealing, they're not doing anything. They're just protesting, and they're called a mob. So this one little fact really is disturbing, because it tells you that there's a polarization among thought and attitudes among people in this country. And this is the makings and the foundation of varying types of revolution. Moral revolution, you know, an ethical revolution, political revolution, and a lot of changes. Our society is going through birth pangs, or some might call it death pangs, as this great republic, it's not a democracy, it's a republic, the great republic is being torn apart from the inside. And this is what's happening. So we as Christians need to be praying for the deliverance of our country. So please pray. My wife and I have been praying, and others that I know are praying, continue to pray and lift this up on a regular basis, what needs to be done. All right, want to give me a call? Four open lines, 877-207-2276. Craig from Texas. Craig, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Oh, yeah, doing well. Hey, I don't know if you remember, I guess it was all odd month ago or call, I called and was mentioning that I was going to meet up with some Mormon missionaries, and you were wanting me to call back to relay to you how everything went.
Yes.
And, well, I've met with them twice, and as kind of predicted, the first meeting was rather uneventful in that, you know, I've always heard it say, you know, when you find yourself agreeing with Mormon, then someone's not defining their terms correctly.
Right.
And so that became kind of evident. But the thing that really, well, I guess, where I kind of sort of went wrong with it was showing them, you know, comparing, you know, Bible to the Book of Mormon. And, you know, went to the, you know, second to probably 25:23 about ways to say after all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to harmonize that with, you know, Ephesians 2:8-9, you know, saying that they're the same thing. I said, doesn't sound like it. And, you know, of course, all the justification for what they were saying to talk to them, it was almost, you know, like he's talking to a normal Christian. And basically the conversation went nowhere. And so I thought, we met for about 2 hours. And I thought, well, there's got to be some way to, you know, to get a little bee in their bonnet of some sort. And I stumbled upon this guy on the internet. You're probably familiar with him. A guy named Keith Walker. Is it Impossible Gospel?
Yeah, I know him.
And I thought, well, this ought to do at least throw some stumbling blocks up.
Right.
And so taking the five or six odd verses throughout the Book of Mormon and Doctrines and Covenants, which basically reiterate 2 Nephi 25:23.
Right.
And the back up here a bit, you know, when I first met, you know, it's these two boys, they're 19, 20 or so. Between the time of our first and second meeting, one of them got switched out and brought another guy in, I guess that's part and parcel what they do. They transfer in and out, I guess, so you can't have the opportunity to form a relationship with them.
Right.
But but anyway, we kept on going, and then I read off all of those passages, which were very similar to the Nephi 25:23, and he was sounding very... talking very Orthodox Christian. And I said, I understand what you're saying, but that's not what your writings are saying. And in going through all of those, it was just like flat willful denial of what was
absolutely
written.
Uh-huh.
And so I figure either he was deluded or he was flat out lying to me.
He's deluded. For the most part, the Mormon missionaries are never going to lie to you. Now, there might be a few that do, but that doesn't represent, to be fair, doesn't represent Mormonism, generally speaking. I mean, they want honesty and integrity, and that's what they teach. So, for the most part, they're just self-deluded. They do not know how to think critically. And you got to think about this, too. They're just young guys, you know, 18, 19, 20 range, and their frontal lobes aren't developed properly yet. Because in the male, the brain is not really matured until about the age of 25. That's a biological fact.
Yeah.
The average in the female is about 22, 23, I've heard. So, you know, I don't want to beat up on them too much. I mean, they're good guys for the most part, but they are self-deluded.
Yeah.
They are deluded. And, you know, when you given things like this, and they see, hopefully, the irrationality of their statements, hopefully they'll end up coming out of Mormonism and going home off their mission and maybe even coming to Christ for real. So.
Well, that's kind of the thing. We probably went around for, I guess, almost 3 hours. And I went through, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you in what you're saying, but that is not what your teaching said. I even tried to explain it to him in Reformed Egyptian, and it still fell on deaf ears. And finally, after we, toward the end there, I finally concluded I've learned a pretty good deal about, who God and Jesus and the Bible and all that is. But I am very open to the idea that I might be, incomplete or missing something or might just be flat wrong. My question for you, Mr. Mormon, is are you willing to admit the same thing? And I wanted to hotbox him in the corner to get some kind of answer out of it. And without missing a beat, he just said, if you mean you want to understand what it is, what we believe and why we believe it, I'm all here for you, but right. Do not think for one moment you are going to convert me to your belief system.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right, because you know Mormonism, and you know what it actually teaches, and it's not Christian. And so, good for you.
So, really, the one thing I was wanting to see, do you know of any kind of statement or any...
So, here's something that... I'm going to go to it and read it. I'm going to go off a car now.
Okay.
The farm server is very slow right now, so it takes me an extra few seconds because we haven't gotten to the place of fixing everything yet because we had to release everything. So what I'm going to do is I'll go to Carm. I'll do a search for Joseph Smith Boasted. I have read this quote to many Mormon missionaries over the years without telling them who it was. And a lot of them have just said, oh, whoever said that wasn't Christian. And I said, I agree. And so this is something I've found to be very, very interesting, very effective. This is what Joseph Smith said in History of the Church, Volume 6, page 408, 409. God is in the still small voice. In all these affidavits, indictments, it is all of the devil, all corruption. Come on, you prosecutors, you false swearers, all hell, boil over, you burning mountains, roll down your lava, for I will come out on the top at last. I have more to boast of than ever any man had. I am the only man that has ever been able to keep a whole church together since the days of Adam. A large majority of the whole have stood by me. Neither Paul, John, Peter, nor Jesus ever did it. I boast that no man ever did such a work as I. The followers of Jesus ran away from him, but the Latter-day Saints never ran away from me yet. Now, that quote actually was read to me by a friend of mine, Charlie Spine, and that single quote is what started me studying apologetics 41 years ago.
Wow.
And it was so arrogant, it was so horrible, that I started studying. I said, who is this? Many Mormon missionaries have said that, whoever said it was a Christian. I agree, and I tell them who it is, and they're blown away.
I got one more meeting with them, so maybe I can put some kind of rock in their shoe.
All right, buddy. God bless. Good break.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Hey, folks, you have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. This is Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Clay from Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Well, hey, Brother Matt. First, let me say Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year to you. And a big heartfelt thank you for doing everything that you do. I tell you, I was just having some down-to-earth moments, and then I heard about what had happened, up in the nation's capital. And I just really feel it sad. I mean, I know that, I've heard you, before you opened up the show and saying that we need to be in prayer. I agree with that. I don't believe many of the people that were up there were in prayer when they decided to, you know, I don't feel a lot of common sense was being used. I don't believe that, you know, some of the people that did what they did, you know, and it's interesting that you give the breakdown on what you shared because, you know, there's a lot of divisiveness and there's a lot of uneasiness. And I think, and I feel just by hearing you and Brother Steve and a lot of other people share what they're sharing is just like there's no faith as to what is going on before ever since November 3rd. And, you know, the Lord's in control of this, but I feel that a lot of people have lost that faith in the overall situation. But yet here we are, you know, I just, and again, I just want to commend you for, you know, I guess in a way opening up the lines, about this.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a difficult position that I'm in, here sometimes to talk about things like that because the Bible talks about throwing off, oppressors and defending the innocent and yet also submitting to governmental, authority. And add to that, in my opinion, the fact that the Christian church as a whole has dropped the ball here in America and allowed the secularists to step into the area where the Christians are supposed to be, that we have this problem.
Yes, sir, I agree with you on that.
Yeah. But the thing is, in the Declaration of Independence of the United States, and I've been thinking about this today, and only because you called up, I'm going to read a little bit. It'll take me about a minute. This is the Declaration of Independence. That's what it says. And I've got to read some of it to get the context to understand what it's saying. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. In other words, you don't overthrow a government just for stupid reasons, and people tend to suffer a lot through all this. But, it goes on, when a long train of abuses and usurpations, to usurp means to take the authority that belongs to someone else, usually by force, but when a long term of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. So what he's saying here, the Declaration of Independence, is saying that when a government gets to the point where it is no longer providing security, and this is one of the many reasons, one of the many things, then after a long chain of this, when it gets despotic, despotism is a... an oppressive governmental rule. And when this becomes too long, it's the obligation of people to throw it off. The reason I'm bringing this up is the idea of throwing off oppressive government is in the Constitution, is in the Declaration of Independence. But the question then becomes, when does that point reach? When is it reached? When do we as Christians seek to throw off oppressors? As Christians, we have to think about this. In America, we have the freedom of our expression of religion, but that is being slowly eroded away by the left and the cancel culture. I'm writing articles now on social justice. It's on CARM. And it's being eroded, our rights of freedom of speech and the right to believe what we want to believe without being penalized by the left for a politically incorrect view. If we don't agree with homosexuality or abortion, and we vote for Trump, you know, or whoever, whatever, conservative, you know, they want to oppress and stop you from having the ability of free speech, and in many cases, to even get you fired from your job. This is despotism. This is oppression. The government should step in and say, enough of this. If Christians don't step up, then we'll be kicked out. This is what's going to happen. And I try and tell people this. I try and warn people about what's coming. I have the advantage of studying the Bible all the time, and I study eschatology occasionally too, and I'll tell you that things get bad because Christians don't do their job, and Christians get persecuted. So what we need to do, first and foremost, is get on our knees and pray, and ask God to raise up godly leaders in our country and to change our culture. But to do that, he's going to have to raise up Christians. And so a lot of times Christians don't realize that when they say, God, change this country, he says, okay, I'm sending you. And people say, no, send somebody else. And this is the problem. Christians normally, generally speaking, aren't willing to do what needs to be done, to take risks. And so
right.
The despotic system increases, and then it becomes, at some point, when the populace has to rebel. And this is the Declaration of Independence is often cited in this area. In fact, I just talked to a pastor today who referenced this, actually. So this is a serious thing because people are talking about this. And what does it mean for our country? And I happen to know some other stuff, which I don't want to say over the radio, that if it were to happen, would be extremely tumultuous for our entire country, and it wouldn't take much to happen. If people really...
So, you know, that's interesting that you share that, because, you know, the Constitution has been brought up many, many, many times, and now you're bringing this up from the Declaration of Independence. So it seems to me... just by what you're sharing, and I'm very thankful that you do this, because I mean, it's people need to know this. So do you feel we're going, that this is being gone away from, and there will be an answering for those who have gone away from it?
We are responsible as Christians to do what's right before God and also before people. Love God and love your neighbor. And what does that mean? It means to not sit on your hands, period.
Okay.
Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And Jesus, with a centurion, didn't tell him to stop being a centurion. He said, pay your taxes, right. Is what we're to do, but we're also to fight for righteousness. And when Christians don't do it in a godly way, then unbelievers do it in an ungodly way.
And well, so, I just want to say thank you for bringing that out. Thank you for sharing that information. And maybe I need to go and look at the Declaration of Independence a little more in depth. And brother, I just want to say thank you for everything that you've done. And I'm looking forward to what you're going to have to say and bring into this new year.
Amen, buddy. All right. You got a great time. God
bless. All right, brother. God bless you, man.
All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. We have two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Tom from Seattle, Washington. Welcome, Tom. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. This is Matt Slick Live. You're
Hi.
On the air. Mm-hmm.
Yes, my name is Thomas. I live right now. I was going to work this weekend, but I tried to commit suicide because I just feel like I don't want to live anymore. My question is, do I have a right to die? That's my question.
You are obligated to follow what God wants you to do. He wants you to live and to bring glory to him in your life. And the way to do that mm-hmm. is to give everything you have and that you are to him. Because if you're at a place of suicide, or anybody is at a place like that, it's because things are so bad that people want to check out. And, you know, if this is the case with you, you need to go see somebody immediately. Okay.
Well, yeah, right now I'm going to see a psychologist right now, and
good.
I'm not sure I'm going to go back. I'm not sure I'm going to go back to work or not.
You need to go and see, you know, a professional and get help. There's lots of stressors that can bring people to such an end, and someone once said, and it's wise, don't ever make a decision under duress, because those decisions can be very costly. You don't want to enter God's presence by having killed yourself. When He's given you life, and it's for His glory that you're to live. And so...
Well, I just feel, yeah, I feel like no, we're going to get no more. I feel like we're going to be a food shortage.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. You don't what?
Food storage.
Food storage?
Shortage.
Food shortage. Okay.
Food storage. Like, no more food. We don't want food.
Oh, you're out of food? Go to a food bank. That's what
I
have.
I mean, you know, went out of food at the grocery store. That's what I'm trying to say.
The grocery store ran out of food? I don't see.
I just feel like we just don't want food in the food.
Okay, I'm not understanding you, but you do need to see somebody. So you are going to see a psychologist, right? Okay. And you have family and friends, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well then, just you need to talk to them and have your family and friends help you out, okay? You need to do that, all right?
You have to pray for me, but, you know, if you pray for our country, then we get back.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yes, that's for sure. And I'm going to say we have a prayer ministry. So why don't you email us at prayer@carm.org, and we can get people praying for you.
Okay, prayer. It's called prayer.
Prayer, P-R-A-Y-E-R, at carm.org, C-A-R-M, dot O-R-G.
At carm.
Carm.org, C-A-R-M, dot O-R-G, carm.org.
So how are you guys still doing okay, or financially as well?
We're hanging in there, by God's grace.
Okay. I'm trying to hang. It's kind of hard, you know, because of coronavirus.
Yes, it is.
Because a lot of businesses closed down.
Yep, that's right. The whole thing's be taken very seriously, and we'll just, you know, better trust God through it, and do our best to survive through all of this. These kind of things have happened to countries before, and we'll make it if we keep our eyes on the Lord. Okay. All right. Okay, Tom. Just appreciate you calling. All right, buddy. Okay. All right, folks. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Same as always. Give me a call. Craig from Florida. Craig, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call. What I'm calling about is I've got some very good friends who have gotten caught up in the New Apostolic Reformation movement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a Bible college graduate, the whole nine yards. And, you know, I believe that, you know, the Bible is the inherent word of God. But what I see happening here for these folks is, you know, they have a strange disregard for the word almost. And I was listening to my friend sent me a sermon the other night from Andrew Womack, and the first part of Womack's sermon was, he actually said this, and I just couldn't believe that a man who called himself a Bible believing pastor said this, but he said one of the greatest errors in Protestantism today is the teaching of the sovereignty of God. And I was like, I almost jumped through my, you know, television, and I was like, wait a minute. So my question, Matt, real quickly is, how am I going to come across to these people?
How do you come across?
Am I going to help them to see the error of their way? Because these friends are really caught up in this really bad.
Well, one of the things is you get a ski mask and a large van. And when they're outside walking, you get some friends, you abduct them, and you tape their eyeballs open, and you know, bright light, no sleep, and you say NAR bad, just have a recording going. Yeah, so what do you do? What you do is study the Word of God. The NAR, is steeped in a combination of truth and error, man-centeredness and denial of God's sovereignty, along with feelings, charismatic this and that, and a little bit of New Age all mixed in. And the people who push it are often trained theologically and know how to weave error through the areas of truth such that it is difficult for the average person to see. And so it's tough. But nevertheless, what you got to do is quote the Word of God, and you got to promote God's sovereignty. And generally the foundation of that is it true that God knows all things? 1 John 3:20. Yes. If he knows all things, does he also work everything after his will? Because I'm quoting, at that point, Ephesians 1:11. And if they say yes, good, and then you're on the right path. If they say no, then you've got to confront them with the Word of God. And this is where it is. Because a lot of times the NAR people don't believe in the Word of God. They believe in believing in the Word of God. They don't believe the Word of God. So they'll say, they say they believe it, but they don't practice it. They don't study it. What they want is experience. What they want is tongues. What they want is the movement of the Spirit and a prophet getting up there and speaking in the name of God and all this stuff. And it just goes overboard. And the Holy Spirit becomes a central focus instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, and man is elevated in the process, and it's always going to end up in error. I need that quote from Womack that you said it. If you can find it, I can document that, where he says the greatest error, one of the greatest errors, is God's sovereignty.
Yeah, I don't remember the sermon. I believe he spoke it at one of his camp meetings at his own place, but it was very scary. I've been saved for 47 years and never heard a quote-unquote evangelical say anything like that.
Well, the Bible does talk about apostasy, and it's going to happen within Protestantism. I mean, Catholic Church is already apostate, so Protestantism has to go too. But God always says that he has his remnant that he keeps. And who are the remnant? Well, the remnant are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Trinity, his death, burial, resurrection, justification by faith alone in Christ alone, not by baptism and faith or sacraments and faith or any ceremony or work and faith, etc. And so those who hold to that are the remnant, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So there's so many things to talk about, and the coming apostasy and what that means. At any rate, the NAR is to a large degree part of the apostasy. It's taking the some aspect of the church by storm and causing damage. So what do? Memorize the Word of God, Isaiah 55:11. The Word of God will not come back empty without accomplishing what God desires, and study the verses on God's sovereignty, because really that's what it ultimately comes down to. Is God sovereign or is man sovereign? So study God's sovereignty and man's sinfulness. And that's what you got to have, those verses handy, so that you can use them as a foundation in order to argue against those people who are seeking to supplant the place of Christ himself with experience, because that's what we're trying to do.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your time, sir, and I'm praying for you, and we're going to get on the bandwagon and start supporting you this year.
Appreciate it.
We haven't done before. So God bless you, sir.
Thank you, man. God bless. All right. Hey, folks, three open lines. The break coming up. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Bill from California. Bill, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon. Oh, hey. I know you are, yes, just, no, by your voice. You sound like a friend of mine. That's right. I always tell you that. I know that. So what do you got?
You know, I don't think we're no longer a Christian nation, and I think God has abandoned us. And I'm going to give you several reasons why. In 1962, the court decision taking God and prayer out of school. 1973, the murdering of babies, 60 million so far since then. And in 2015, homosexual marriage being legalized. And also, a couple other things. The United States is the leading nation at both production and export of pornography.
Yep.
And Christian nation doesn't do that.
That's right.
And I'm going to steal one from you, because our Christian preachers are preaching a mammy-pammy gospel.
That's right.
To Disneyland, Cotton Candy Disneyland disciples.
Yep.
And I blame the church for this.
Yep. Not hear me argue. Yep.
So,
do you think that
God has abandoned us?
I want those dates, because I want to actually write an article on that kind of stuff. I was actually going to look up and research when those various events happened. If anybody else has any of those, just email us at info@karm.org. I want to write an article documenting the dates of the apostasy and the fall of our nation. Because our country cannot survive like this. God will not bless us if we are ignoring Him, killing the unborn, promoting ungodliness like homosexuality, LGBTQ, penalizing the Christians, and the Christian pulpit has become NAR or Mamby Pamby or whatever it is, and not preaching the cost of discipleship. And how is God going to continue to bless us? At least we can look at Sodom and Gomorrah, where, if there's 10 left or 5 left, will he destroy it? No, he's got to get them out first. And so we can hope that that kind of a thing will be the case here. Now, I don't affirm pre-trib rapture, but I hope it's correct. But nevertheless, as long as we're here, we can affect this country, and the Christians are the ones with the responsibility to do it, and they need to pray, and God hears the prayers of his people. When they humble themselves and seek the Lord, he heals the nation. And this is what has to happen, and we as Christians, true Christians, not the Mormons, not the Roman Catholics, not the Jehovah's Witnesses, the true Christians need to get on their knees and pray and ask the Lord God in his great sovereign grace to heal our country. That's what has to happen.
Restore our country. And what does the Bible say? When the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth?
Yeah, Matthew 22. Yeah, it's a question he asks. Will he find faith? He doesn't answer it. The answer, of course, is, well, yes, there's going to be people who believe, because he always has his remnant. But the question it hints at the issue of so few people are going to believe. So few people are going to believe. They're going to be afraid. They're going to be weak. And I believe the pastors need to start preaching in strength and truth. And if the church members leave, let them go. The pastor is supposed to preach to please God, not people. He's not supposed to tickle anybody's ears. That doesn't mean be mean from the pulpit and yell and stuff like that. It just means tell the truth, call people to repentance and discipleship in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it requires effort, and not just an intellectual assent, but a heartfelt commitment that results in doing. And that, of course, manifests differently for different people on different levels of ability, disability, and situations in life. But this is what preachers are supposed to be preaching.
Yeah. And you know what? They fear men more than God, because they're worried about losing the 501c3. I hope they do. I hope that they take that away so we can preach the gospel.
Oh, yeah.
Preach repentance and preach what's going on in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, what needs to happen is pastors all over, and there are a lot of good pastors there. There are a lot of good preachers of the Word of God out there, and I know many of them. But as a whole, like this blasphemous, I can't say it on the radio, individual who prayed in the name of Brahma inside of our capital, that blasphemy, God hears that. And he's not going to bless our nation. He's not going to bless our nation. He's just not going to. Anyway.
That is so true. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. God bless, Bill.
Thank you.
All right, man. All right, folks. We have, 4 open lines if you want to give me a call. 877 877-207-2276. Let's get to Jasmine from Texas. Hey, Jasmine, welcome. You're on the air. Hello? I did hit the right button. Jasmine, are you there? I'm not hearing you.
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, there you go. I hear you.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Can you hear
Hello?
Me?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I
thank
hear you.
You,
yes. Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah? Maybe there's a bad connection.
My question is, how do I repent? Because lately I've been trying to get close to God and get...
And get, yes. There's an, we have an odd connection here or something.
And just, I want to be saved and I've been trying to get close to God, but I'm not really sure how to repent.
Repentance is an attitude. It's a change of mind. It comes from the Greek metanoeo, the word repent. Meta, change, noeo, mind. It's an attitudinal change that begins with knowing who Christ is and what he has done on the cross, along with knowing our own sin before God. And what we do is we acknowledge our sin before the Lord. We confess our sins. We ask the Lord to forgive us of all of our sins. We trust in what he has done. This is the first step in true repentance. Because what it is saying that we, in and of ourselves, need deliverance from our own sins. That we seek to turn from them. And that we seek the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first and greatest step of all repentance that anybody can do. And then what God does is he works in our lives and convicts us so that certain sins, usually one or two at a time, are brought up and then we have to struggle with them until we no longer do them or they have been greatly weakened in our lives because a lot of times we struggle with these things for quite a while. So what we do to repent is begin with confession, the confession of our sin. And then by faith, we trust in the work of Christ. And we ask the Lord to increase the strength in our hearts so that by faith, we can follow him. And if and when we do fail, then what we do is we trust in him again and continue to honor him and seeking to not sin. But when we do, because we're weak, then we go to the cross, confess it, and move forward and continue to try and do what's right. And this is what we're supposed to do. That's how we repent. And sometimes it's really easy on some things, and sometimes it's not. Okay?
Okay. Thank you for your help. Thank you for answering my question. But will he forgive all your sins if you repent, or only some sins?
God forgives all of our sins when we trust in him. Our repentance is not what gets us saved. Our repentance is not what brings us forgiveness of sins. What results in the forgiveness of our sins is the work of Christ on the cross. When we believe in what he has done, our sins are officially cleansed. All of them are removed. All of them, past, present, and future. And this is how it really is. A lot of Christians don't know this. A lot of Christians make the mistake of thinking that in order to stay right with God, you have to continually repent. Because if you don't repent enough, then you're going to lose your salvation. And that's false teaching. Our repentance is not what gets us saved. Our repentance is not what keeps us saved. What keeps us saved is God's grace. And what justifies us, which makes us right before God, is our faith in Christ, which he gives to us. So our responsibility, once we're saved and we're regenerate, we're born again, our responsibility is to seek to follow Christ in all areas because our salvation does not depend on our success or our failure when we follow Christ. It depends on Christ's faithfulness, not ours. But what we do as Christians is we seek to follow him all the time because we're saved. and because we love Him. And so we repent in our Christianity. We repent in our Christian lives because we all still sin. And then we confess and we move forward. But our repentance does not keep us saved, that because that would be salvation by works. Because repentance means to stop doing something bad, which means to conform to the law of God. We should repent of our sin, but that's not what saves us. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you're welcome. Call back again if you have more questions, all right?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. All right, let's get to Monique from Greensboro, North Carolina. Monique, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much. excuse me. Really quickly, I hope my throat doesn't start acting up. I'm concerned, and I want to speak to the end of it. I want you to help me understand if maybe I am misunderstanding the word. But I hear disciple a lot, used as a verb. And on different radio, you know, Christian things, we're going to disciple them or have this young woman disciple him. And it disturbs me to my core because, number one, usually they're just saying it like it's just a nice little therapeutic verb, and they're not disciple. I mean, what do you mean disciple? That's a heavy word. And I just want to throw that out there and get balanced if I'm not. It's disturbed me for a very, very long time. And I've even asked God about it, you know, if I'm being just particularly easily annoyed, which I am with a lot of stuff.
Well, to be a disciple is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to emulate Him and to be like Him. And so when someone disciples another person, it means that a more mature Christian is guiding and helping and giving wisdom to a younger Christian who has less experience and is trying to help that person become more like Christ. And so discipleship
is good. Okay, I'm glad you said that because I know what it means, but the way it's been spoken and just so many times, and maybe it's just because of who is saying it, and so I'm thinking of that person as far as what we can tell of their fruit. And it's like, how are you, do you mean you're discipling them? Are you a disciple?
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking about, what context is, but I can only give the generics of what it is. And discipleship is what we're supposed to be doing as Christians with other Christians. It's supposed to happen.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, my concern is more throwing it like a verb. Thank you very much.
It is to disciple. All right, well, God bless. Hey, folks, we're out of time. May the Lord bless you by His grace, as usual. We'll be back on there tomorrow, and we'll be tuning in and listen. May you have a great evening. Remember, folks, pray for this country. It needs it desperately. All right. God bless. Bye.